The word today is faithful. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. In the Bible, Jesus points out the fickle attitude of those who stop following him when things get tough. Christ is hoping for each of us to grow strong in our commitment to him. Hear from our archives to help us evaluate how we are doing regarding our faithfulness is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Faithful.
It sure is great to be back again with you this week. I am so grateful that you are a regular listener to this program, and I have to make sure that I keep the promise that I made to you last week. I told you that at this time of year, because many of our churches all over the world, not just here in America, but the 54 different language groups that all over the world are listening to this message, know that this time is a holiday season for the church. We are getting ready to celebrate Christmas, the Advent, the coming of the Lord, the first coming. There will be a second coming. Jesus will return, and that will be Judgment Day. And that'll be the end of the earth and the beginning of eternity, so to speak. And so that day is also coming. But in the meantime, God wants his church to be faithful in terms of giving to support the work of ministry, to take the message of salvation to the world. That's one of the things we're doing here at The Word Today. We have 54 different languages that we're proclaiming the message in all over the world. I am so pleased that God has blessed us with the opportunity to speak to people everywhere in the world, literally all over the world. And now we have a website. Wherever you are in the world, whatever country you're in, whatever language you have, whatever spot on the globe that you are listening to us, you can go to our website and you can find their messages from the past. Any day of the week, any hour of the day, you can tune in and listen to a message from the Bible. This is God proclaiming the news of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we in the Christian church, especially those of us here in America that belong to different church groups and different denominations, we have the privilege to support that church, especially its missions, especially the love that it shows toward those in need. If there's any need, if it's financial, we know there's a spiritual need because people need to hear the word. They need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear there is a Savior that loves them and gave his life for them. They need to hear that news of salvation, and so we give to support that mission. We call those missionaries. We call those people that go out. But actually, God wants every person in his kingdom, every person who claims to be a child of God, God wants every single one of us to be a missionary. Not just those that are paid, that travel overseas and so on, but every single one. Some of my most precious moments that I just love so much and review them in my heart and in my mind, are those of the churches in Africa, in China, in India. I've been literally all over the world, and I've had the pleasure of being at many of those meetings, in the tents and in the little chapels and out in the open under the sky. I've had the privilege. I just love the fact that I've had that blessing to be able to travel for Jesus. I remember one very special event. I've preached sometimes to thousands of people in an audience, and of course many times to smaller groups, 50 or 100 or several hundred, and of course many also of 10 or 12 or 5, and many individuals all over. You know, the ministry of Christ is talking to anyone, anywhere. And I remember once I was in Africa, and the missionary there, he said, "Paul, would you like to speak to the tribe tonight?" He said, "I'll tell the chieftain and maybe we can get some people together. We have a little chapel here. It's outdoors and we have a generator, so we'll start the generator and we'll have a light bulb out there so we have a little light." And it began to get dark, and he said, well, let's go out. We'll signal that we're ready to start. And the people began to come from the different parts of the village. And he said, oh, this is great. He said, the chief is here. The chief of their little tribe was there, and he had a couple other men with him. And, of course, there were a number of women. I would say there were at least 20, something like that, counting 8 or 9 men and probably a dozen women. And then a bunch of kids. And I'll never forget that. I started preaching, and I preached about Zacchaeus, the little tiny guy. You remember, he was a tax collector, and he was kind of a mean guy, I guess. You know, he didn't do things very well or very correctly. And yet he wanted to see Jesus, and he heard that Jesus was coming into town. Well, he was so short, we are told in the scripture, he was a tiny little man, that in order to see Jesus better along the parade route, he decided to climb a tree. And so he climbed a tree, and from there he began waiting and watching for Jesus to come. Well, when Jesus came, he came right down the street, just like a parade, and he came down, but he stopped under the tree in which Zacchaeus was. And he called to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, he says, come on down here. I've decided to come to your house here. And so Zacchaeus scrambled down the tree and went to be with Jesus at his house. And you remember Jesus had some things to say to him, and he repented. And he said, well, I've been kind of crooked. I've been taking more money from these people than I should have, and I'm going to repay it. I'm going to give back 4 times what I've taken. I'm going to give back to repay those that I've harmed and hurt. And so his whole life was transformed. His whole life was changed. Well, I remember that night there in that African village, and I decided to preach about that. And as a kind of an altar call, I said, would anyone like to invite Jesus to come to their home? And some hands went up, and I was so tickled. The hand of the chief went up, and he came forward, and I blessed him. I pronounced a blessing over his head and welcomed him and said, this is wonderful. Jesus is with you. And I said, anyone else that would like to invite Jesus to their house, into their heart? And some others came, and once the men had kind of broken the ice, so to say, this is okay to do, some of the women came, and almost everybody came. I remember, and I kept calling, is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? And the missionary who was translating for me into their language would tell me what was happening. He said, yes, Paul, there is someone else. And so I called out again. Is there anyone else? Please come forward. Please come and invite Jesus into your life. And the missionary says, yes, Paul, there is. There is someone else. And we did that 2 or 3 times, and I kept looking out. It was dark on the edges of the crowd, and I couldn't see that well. And I said to the missionary, I said, I don't see anybody. You keep saying there is someone else, but I don't see anyone. And he said, well, Paul, she's right, this little girl right by your foot, right by your feet. And I'll never forget that moment. I looked down by my feet where I was standing, and I looked directly into the 2 large eyeballs of this little girl. I will never, ever forget that. I'm looking forward in heaven to meeting her. I don't know her name. She was just a little girl. I would say a couple feet tall. I will never forget that. I looked down, and there her eyes were looking up at me, waiting. She was waiting to receive this little altar call. She wanted to let me know she wanted Jesus in her life. And I took great joy in placing my hand upon her head and blessing her and saying, Jesus is with you, honey. Jesus is with you. And the missionary translated for me so that the little girl was filled with great joy and great comfort of knowing that she had Jesus now as her personal friend. I'll never forget that sermon. That's been many decades ago, and I just think it was one of the most wonderful experiences I ever had in my preaching. And I just hope and pray that you will find a great joy in inviting Jesus into your heart and life. We're starting a whole new year now at this time in the church year, and if it's a different month and you're hearing this maybe in the summer or you're hearing this in the fall or the winter, whenever, it doesn't matter. You know, the church year is set up to constantly all year long remember the things that the Bible teaches us. For instance, it begins with Advent, 4 weeks before Christmas. That's a beautiful 4-week period to kind of repent and draw near to God, to use an Advent wreath or some sort of a prayer calendar to lead you all the way into the birth of Christ, which we celebrate at Christmas. And then immediately after that, Epiphany, where we remember that the news is taken not only to the Jewish people, but to everybody, to the whole world. And then comes Lent, during that season of repentance and kind of drawing close to God, where we hear about his coming to earth. That Christmas message is then brought to us in his sacrifice, his death on the cross, Good Friday, his death, Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday, when he rose from the dead, conquered the devil, conquered death, and has given us eternal life through the forgiveness that he offers. That big festival, Easter Sunday, followed by Pentecost, followed by the Trinity season, there are 27 weeks that follow then, where we work on our prayers, where we work on our good works that we do to serve God, to show our thankfulness, and to become missionaries, to speak the word of salvation to anyone who will listen, where we grow in our giving, where we grow in our Bible study, where everything is full speed ahead to become more committed to our God and Lord. That's the whole church year from beginning to end. I hope it'll be meaningful for you. I hope you'll get to a church, not only listening to these broadcasts, but if you're able to be mobile and able to get out to church, you'll go, that you'll receive Holy Communion, that you'll worship and sing with the congregation, that it'll be a marvelous year, so that at the end of the year, you'll be able to praise God and your faith will be stronger, your witnessing will be stronger, and it'll be a wonderful year to thank God. It has been a year in which you have drawn closer to him and worshiped him more sincerely.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org. to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.